6 o'clock, and we are on Sadi Gimel Amud Beis, I believe. We are 5 lines from the end of the narrow lines, 5 lines up of the from the end of the narrow lines. Then the Gemara Daniel Chananya Mishol Bazaria. We're talking about the 6 descendants of Ruth, that each of them were blessed with 6 brachas. So we talked about David and Mashiach, and now we're going to the other 4, which are Daniel Chananya Mishol Bazaria. B'chsev, Ashebehem Behem Kol Mum. There is no blemish in them. Tayvi Mara, they looked good. I guess Tayvi Mara means they're good looking. Maskilim, and they understand B'chol B'chachma and all wisdom. B'yayde Das, and they know knowledge. U'mevinei Mada, and they understand the knowledge. Vashikayach, I'm sure Artsko has a different word for Das and Mada. What is Artsko's word, different words for Das and Mada?
Science.
Is there any difference in Artsko between Das and Mada? Yoide Das u'mevinei Mada.
Discriminating knowledge and perceptive and learning.
Okay. Vashikayach ben Lamed Behikol HaMelech, and they had strength to stand in the palace of the king, of the Lamdom Sefer, and to learn whatever Sefer they needed to learn. The Lashon Kazdim, I guess, to read and to speak in the Kazdim language. So those are the 6 milos, I guess. Rashi, is there Rashi? No. That's the Gemara about Maya Shebeim Mem Kol Mum. What does it mean? They didn't have any blemish. Amar Rav Chama, some are Gairis Bar Chanina. I feel like Karivda the Kuslisa. What happened to him? Even a mark of where they had to let blood did not exist in Daniel Chananya Mishael Bazaria. They totally never had a blemish, meaning no scratch on their body. Rashi Afer lived the Kuslisa with Haisiv Gufam, Shlai Tzichim Lahakaza. They never required bloodletting, which was a common way of healing in those days. They never required it. Rivda is Panira Blas. Rivda means Panira, whatever that means in French. And Kuslisa Shem Kli Hamakis. That's the name of the Keli that draws blood, is called Panira. And the French word is whatever it is. That's the Gemara Vayter. What does it mean? What does it mean they had the strength to stand in the palace of the king? What strength is required to be in the palace of the king? They were able to control themselves. From laughter. From talking. From sleeping. Were able to hold themselves back when they needed to use the facilities. Because of the fear of the king. It seems that controlling oneself and talking is a difficult thing, because on the list of things that they have to control themselves for is laughing, sleeping, and talking, and going to the bathroom. Rashi min asicha, shloim misapim bedvorim betelim. They didn't speak idle chatter. Kadei shloim yizganu b'me'amelach. They should not become unseemly in front of the king. Meaning the king shouldn't lose. It doesn't look nice to the king that in front of the king people are engaged in idle chatter. This is Nebuchadnezzar, correct. Yes. Vahibahem Ibn Yehuda, Daniel, I'll mention this because it's Rosh Hashanah time. Rabbi Weinberg has told us countless times that we don't understand the concept of fear is because we don't have a king. And without having a king, it's very hard for us to understand the concept of fear. People, we're not afraid of anything or anybody except the thug in the street. But there's no fear that we live in on a constant basis. People who lived in absolute monarchies were afraid of the king. The king could get them killed just because he wanted to. There was a total absolute fear of a person. And therefore, we were able to understand if we fear a person that way, how much more we have to fear the Rabbeinu Shlalom, who is the king of kings. But today, since we live in a society where we don't have fear and we don't have respect, and forget about fear, but we don't even have respect, but at least fear is gone. Therefore, it's very hard for us to internalize the concept of what it means to fear the Rabbeinu Shlalom. They feared Nebuchadnezzar. When they stood in Nebuchadnezzar's presence, they stood there in total control of themselves, because any wrong move might result in their death. It was a real chance that these things could happen. It was a real fear. But they had the ability to do it. Not everybody could. Not everybody was cut out to be in front of a king. They have to be able to control themselves from all natural inclinations that humans have in front of the king. That's Amos Malchus.
I know that Amina said Amos Malchus, but we're trying to say, why were these people zeicha to six brachas, right?
No, we're not saying why they were zeicha. We're saying what were the six brachas. We're not telling you why they were zeicha. They were zeicha to six brachas. These were the six brachas. That's the Gemara of Ibrahim ibn Yehuda. It says they were from the children of Yehuda. Daniel, Chananya, Mishael, Vazaya. The pasuk in, I believe, Daniel says that they were from the Bnei Yehuda. Daniel, Aleph, pasuk Vav. Daniel, Chananya, Mishael, Vazaya. Amar, Rebbe, Lazar. I think it's supposed to be Rebbe Lazar. Kulam ibn Yehuda. These were all descendants of Yehuda. Like we said before, they were descendants of Rus, which means they came from Malchus ben David. They were from Bnei Yehuda. Reb Shmuel ben Achmeni Amar Daniel Mibnei Yehuda. Daniel came from the Shevet of Yehuda. Chananya Mishael Vazari Mishar Shvatim. Chananya Mishael Vazari came from other Shvatim. And this man, the Amar, argues on the Gemara before, who says that Rus had six descendants with six brachas, because he says that three of the ones that we listed are not from Yehuda, are not from Rus. Rashi, Daniel, Kulam Mibnei Yehuda, Kedukhashim Le'il, Shishabana Masidim Latas Rus. Like we listed before, the six that were supposed to come out of Rus. And along with them, we listed Chananya Mishael Vazaria. That was the one, three of the six. The less lehachdrashel doesn't agree to the drasha before of Sheitz Irim of the six barley kernels symbolizing six descendants. Disagrees. Doesn't say what he does with that pasuk, but he disagrees with the drasha we made. Let the Gemara write in the story of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, which preceded Galus Babel. It says over there that after the miracle that happened, that Sancherib's army was wiped out, and we will spend a number of dafim on that in Chelik, talking about Sancherib and his threat and his army. After that, it says that the king of Babel sent messengers and a letter to Chizkiyahu, praising the Rabbeinu Shloim and praising Chizkiyahu for the unbelievable miracle that had happened. And the Gemara talks about other miracles that had happened, whatever it was that triggered it. So Chizkiyahu showed him his treasures, took him around and showed him his treasures. And that was the taina of Chizkiyahu. Wasn't good for him, but tomorrow we'll talk about why. And he was told, as a punishment, that there will be a galus, and from the children that come out of you that you will give birth to, meaning your descendants, yitku, they will be taken, and they will be sarisim behechom melech babel. And they will be sarisim in the palace of Melech Babel. And the question is, what does that mean? They will be sarisim. This was part of his punishment, that his descendants would have to be sarisim in the palace of Melech Babel. My sarisim. What does it mean, sarisim? That the Gemara, Rav Amr sarisim mamash. Rav says they didn't have the ability. How does he translate it? They didn't have the ability to have children. What's the word for it?
Eunuchs.
Eunuchs? Right, eunuchs. Rav Amar Sivrim Chin Amar Shinistaris Avedizara Bimeyam. Avedizara was eradicated in their days through Chananya Mishael Vazaria. So Sarisa means they caused the eradication, the castration of Avedizara, so to speak. Dakrashi, Vibanacha Shayetu Mimeyacha, Bechiskiya Melech Yehudot Siv. It's interesting, the Pasuk does not say Mimeyacha. It says in the Pasuk, and they changed the gears to here, it says in the Pasuk, Mimcha. They castrated Chananya Mishael Vazaria. She came down to Shemalachim. This is the way kings behaved. Lasaris is the Adam to castrate their servants. They shouldn't be able to get married. And they should have time totally dedicated to the service of the king. Again, there was no such thing as individual rights. The king was it, and everybody served the king, even if it meant ruining a person's life, but that's what the king wanted, that's what was done. The Lesley had the Chachamim, the Amr Le'el, Sha'olu Le'eretz Yisrael, and obviously this man, the Amr, does not agree to what the Chachamim say before, that they went up to Eretz Yisrael, v'nasu nashim, v'lidu banam v'banos, that they married and had children. Obviously this man, the Amr, doesn't hold that way because they were physically incapable. That's the Gemara Vayter.
big difference in them being Sarisim or...
Well, that's Tum Shatim. That's when I have Tum Shatim, there's a difference. Again, it's Tum Shatim, it's Machlokes, what it means.
Did they do something wrong or not?
It's nothing to do with doing something wrong. This was the fact. Why are you saying they did something wrong?
Because of the...
This is what happened to them. Well, that was part of... This was definitely part of a greater punishment that was being described to Chizkiyo. This is part of it. So either this part is also part of the punishment, or this part is just the fact that they will be in the Heichal Melech bubble where Avedizar will be eradicated. But it's part of a greater Nebuah to Chizkiyo predicting the bubble, that they're going to bubble, that there's going to be a Golos. This is one part in a whole Parsha. The question is this adding on that it will also be Saritzim, the individuals, that's all.
Even that the Rashi, Abchananya.
Abchananya Amar, Loit Sirisim, Elohi Karloi Saritzim, they're called Saritzim, Shinistar Sabat Izara Bimeim. What does that mean? Shabimeim, Noidu Lakol, Shay Mamish, Bavad Izara. And during their days, it was notified, everybody was notified, everybody found out that Abad Izara is meaningless. Uparaniya Shay Novim Isnabil Chiskiyo, this was the punishment that the Navi was predicting, prophesizing for Chizkiyo. She agreed to marry them, and they were going, they would be gullus in their land. And they will be taken to the Heichal Melech Bavel. Now, we just had a man the Amr that said, Hanani Mishol Vazayah were not from Zavar. So they were not descendants of Chizkiyo. So according to that man the Amr, Rashmul Ben Achmeni, Hanani Mishol Vazayah, Mishar Shvatamayu, Mukim HaKrob and Daniel Lachud, says only Daniel was the Sarisim. So it's a machloikas. Depending on whether you learn Hanani, Mishael, Vazaya were for David, are they, again, are they the emphasis of this Nebuah? When it says Benecha, they'll be Sarisim, is it all four? Or is it one of the four? I mean, they were all Sarisim, Behechom, Melech, Bavo. Question is, which one is the one that was the prophecy set on? It was only set on Chizkiyo's descendant. Is he have one descendant or four descendants? That's a machloikas. Does the Gemara right? I understand according to the Mandama that says that Avedizara was eradicated in their days. That's why it said before, there was no wound in them. Right? We even said they didn't have a scratch mark on their body. People that say that they were actually physically castrated, what do you mean they didn't have a wound? They had wounds. They were physically incapable of having children. That's a wound. That the Gemara chavlu v'nura. It means that it says v'chavlu l'isabai means the fire hadn't affected them in any way. They might have had previous wounds, but they didn't have the fire hadn't affected them. In fact, the Gemara v'chsiv the pasuk says v'reach nur by others behind that the fragrance of the fire had not affected them. So why does it really has a pasuk about the fire? So obviously this must be about something else. But the Gemara lechavlu v'leirecha. No, it's a double. They weren't physically blemished by the fire. They didn't even have the smell of fire on them. That's the two psukim. Rashi, my chavali is sibayim v'lechavali hizuch in his tire. So it's rather a big wound that they were castrated. My krod leil yilodim hashemem kamum. Rashi's bothered. We had a pasuk that said they don't have any mum. Why don't we ask him that pasuk? The Rashi the Motzi Paruch. He couldn't ask. That's recounting when they were taken to Nuchanetzer. At that point, they didn't have a mum. It could be later on they had a mum. So that's not a question. But later on in their life, it says chaval leisabain. They don't have any wound. So that's the question. And the answer is it was the wound of fire they didn't have. Rashi chaval dinura. But you see behind, let me just finish Rashi. Have a chavolus guf mi yikka, they had wounds in the body. The parak of the Gemara asked, the chavol the nur leitzur, I don't need it for the fire, the ksiv krav vareach nur the others behind. The answer is, leirech ashen eish, the smoke. There was no smoke damage. Yes. I'm sorry, yes.
You people in this room, maybe it's different, but I would presume every person in this room has had a scratch in his lifetime.
That would be a fair assumption, yes.
So what I'm saying is that what's called a wound that was bulk, when they castrated the name, he couldn't do anything about. The Chiddush is that they were so holy people, is that they were perfect.
Again, the pasuk says, Hashem Eimem Kol Mum. Rashi's father, Kol Mum means anything. Don't say that about people that had a mum, regardless of the reason. That's the Gemara writer. This is my little mandamer, she is tired of Avodah Zarah b'yameihem. It's good according to the mandamer that says that the Avodah Zarah was removed in their days. Hainu d'siv kayamar Hashem, so says Hashem, l'saritzim ashi yishmishu shabsoitzai, to the saritzim that keep my Shabbos. This is a nevuah that said in Yeshaya. Hello, my name is Teresa Mamish, Mishtoi Krob and Yemusa the Tzaddiki. Would we identify people by their blemish? Why would we identify people by a negative? See, if we want to recount the story, we have to tell you the story, the positives and the negatives. But when we are referring to people, why would we call them by a name of a blemish? Hashem said to those Teresim, as if that's their identification mark, Tama Tzaddikim. So the Gemara Havaha Havigahu. That man, the Amr, says there's two in translation, Sarisim. He understands Sarisim to be physical, but also a remnant to the fact that Avodah Zarah would be eradicated, not eradicated, but taken care of in their days. Rashi, Hava Ha Hayu, Sarisim Mamish, Ushin Estaris Avodah Zarah B'yameihem. And when they're called Sarisim Ashish B'Hushab Soysai, it's referring to that aspect. Dr. Gemara Vaita, Bishlam of the Mandam is Sarisim Mamish. Point to the man that says they were physical. I will give them in my house and in my walls. A yad v'shem means a hand and a name. How's it translated? It means a zecher,
a monument and a memorial.
Taiv mibanam and mibanas. That's better than children. Elamad amish and the stars of a desire be mayhem. Right, and so they had children. My type mibanam mibanas. Why does it have to say better than children? They had children. So the Gemara was not by Yitzchuk mibanam shayilam kfar mesu. Even the Mandamah that says they were not castrated. Unfortunately, Hanani Mishael Bazayit lost children, and therefore Hashem says, "I will make up for their children with a monument and a memorial that's greater than children." My shame elam etem loy ashaloy yikares. What is this everlasting memorial that will never be uprooted? Amram Tamkum Darish Barkapar Bitsipuri, Zeh Sefer Daniel Shenikra Shemai. It's referring to Sefer Daniel that is called by Daniel's name, that is an everlasting memorial to Daniel. Rashi, Banim Shailam Kfaru Mesu, I'm sorry, Matai Mibanim Mibanim, Sakhali Mashi, the Tarutsu Hava Havi. According to that man, the Amr, that says that they were not Tzaris, and you can't say that both are true, because we already said in the Mandamah that says that they were castrated, that Tzaritzim has two meanings. So obviously the other Mandamah has to hold it only has one meaning. So it's, because if not, it wouldn't be a Machloikas. Right? Them came by Bligi. Panam Shalom Kvar Meitzum. Lechayu B'neim. Their children did not live. Mi'u Lahayu Tzaritzim. But they weren't physically incapable. Etem Loi. Lohem Loi Nemar. Doesn't say Etem Lohem. Etem Loi. One of the two of them will have an everlasting, one of the four of them will have an everlasting memorial. V'hainu Sefer Daniel. Now we go on a tangent. We're asking a question on its own. Since we got involved in Sefer Daniel, we are now going to get involved in Svarim Daniel and a few other Svarim and Tzuvim, exactly why they're named what they're named. So, looking back at the way the Gemara got here, right, we were talking about Chiyas HaMesim, and because we were talking about Chiyas HaMesim, we got involved in the Mesim Shehechi Yechizkiel and Yechezkel. That took us to Nebuchadnezzar, which took us to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Nekib, Shenehesh. Took us to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Daniel. And now we're moving on in Daniel. That's the Gemara Vayter. That's the Gemara. Mirdi. Kol Mili de Ezra, Nechemya Bechakaya Menhu. Most, Rashi learns Kol, meaning most. Most things in Sefer Ezra were said by Nechemiah. Why don't we have a Sefer in Tzuvim called Nechemiah? Now we do. In the time of the Gemara, there was no Sefer called Nechemiah. Nechemiah was part of Ezra. Ezra Nehemiah was one sefer called Ezra, and Nehemiah did not have a sefer named for him. And the Gemara's question is, why is there no name for him? Because in his sefer, he means he claims credit for himself. When he davens, he mentions his schusim, his own schusim. And that, for punishment for that, a sefer is not named in his name. That is what the Gemara says. And I'm going to point out that we have a sefer Nehemiah. And the Gemara tells us that part of his punishment is that a sefer not be called in his name, so why do we call it Nehemiah? So they bring an interesting thing, that when Rav Gamliel was removed from his nesias, this is Kabbalistic, this is not something I can explain, but the Gemara in Brachos recounts a story where they deposed Rav Gamliel temporarily from his nesias, the terrible embarrassment, and that was Mechaper on Nehemiah. He was a descendant of Nehemiah, and obviously his neshama was linked, and that forgave that sin, and from then and on, we were able to refer to Sefer Nehemiah. Before that, we called everything Ezra. After that, it was split into two, Ezra and Nehemiah. This is what they say. I cannot comment any more on that, just to say what they say. Again, it has to do with neshamas more than forefathers. Oh, you mean, can they do tshuva? Yes and no.
There's a reason I'm speaking.
Yeah, I understand what you're into. Again, I will only explain it this way. See, if we view punishment as punishment, your question's a great question. But if you view punishment as reality of relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a different way of viewing things, right? Our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is determined by what generations prior to us have done. We start at a given point. And if we want to change our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it might take some purification process. It's built into our DNA when we're born. We are born just like people who are physically stronger and weaker the way they're born. Our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sometimes, not always, but sometimes based on previous generations, right? They did an ego. We suffer from the ego. We're not being punished for the ego. We didn't do the ego, but the ego established the reality of shaykhus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, and we're born into that shaykhus. So automatically, we are born with the limitations that the ego put into place.
Can the DNA be changed?
Ultimately it will be changed, but it's not like it's
because of our own deeds.
Yeah, but not necessarily will it change some of the things. They had to be Sarisim and Melech Bavo. That was part of their DNA that was not changeable. I'm sure there were things about things that they did change. Again, the relationship of an individual to the Rabbi Nishleilim is his relationship, and that's what he gets judged on here. And then there's things that are built into the DNA of his Ruchnius, of his life, based on previous generations. That's not his fault. That's not his. We talk about Gilgulim, right? The person down here might not have done something, but the neshama has unfinished business. So there has to be taken care of that unfinished business. Not his fault. We won't use the word fault, but it's part of the DNA of this person. Yes.
Good example is that.
I'm trying to figure out what Nehemia did wrong. If I say to God, you know how difficult this was for me. This was my area of Bechira. You may know what I was going to do, but I had to do it, and you know how difficult it was, and you know how hard it was for me to sacrifice to do it. And in that merit, I would like some credit for whatever you're asking of God. What is the problem?
The Akronim are very bothered by it. But if you give me two more lines in the Gemara, again, I'll try to address it. I don't know if I'll be addressing it adequately, but we'll see. That's the Gemara. Migdi. I'm sorry, the Gemara. Shenemer Zachri Lekai L'Taiva. Shem, remember it for my good. Remember me for my good. David Nami Meimor Amar. Zachreini Hashem B'tzai Namecha. Pugdeinu B'shu Asecha. David also said, remember me in the goodwill of your nation, remember me with your salvation. So David says, remember me. Doesn't that sound like he's asking in his own schus? That the Gemara, David Rachmi Hu Dekavoi. David is asking for mercy. David is not accentuating his own positives. He's saying, I need mercy. Not, I deserve mercy, but I need mercy. And Nehemiah's pasuk is being described as I deserve mercy. Now, the Zachranim deal with this at length, exactly what the difference is. The one shot that sticks in my mind is that there are different names of Hashem. The word Elikai refers to Midas Hadin. Din means what a person deserves. The word Hashem refers to Midas Harachmim. Not what I deserve, but have mercy on me. If you notice, Nehemiah used the word Zachrali Elikai L'Taiva. It's saying, I deserve this. And David HaMelech says, Zachreini Hashem B'tzayin HaMecha. I don't deserve it. Have mercy on me. And therefore, one is accentuating the fact, I don't deserve it. And one is saying, I deserve to be treated better. I deserve to be remembered. And that is a no-no. In fact, it's not for me to talk about Nehemiah, but the Gemara views this as something that resulted in the fact that his Sefer couldn't be called in his name. So it's the fact that it's not that he accentuated that he did something good, but therefore what? So he deserves it? We don't tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu we deserve things. We tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu he should have mercy on us and give us those things, whether we deserve or whether we don't deserve. And that's the way the Achrayim, one of the Achrayim explained the difference between Nehemiah and David.
Why are you saying that it's a hard thing to understand? I understand it fully. Nothing that we do we deserve. We're living. That's enough. Hashem lets us live is in itself the greatest thing in the world, right? So what are we saying?
What Harvey was asking was, is it wrong to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu I did something right?
Hashem, what he has to,
is it wrong to mention to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did something right?
I can see how it's perfectly legitimate to criticize someone for saying, on the balance, God, I deserve it. Because you don't know what the balance is.
Right.
But for an individual act that you know that you did, that you know took some heroism in a certain way, for you to deny that,
so there's two answers that can be said here. You might be right that on an individual act, one is allowed to point out that he did this Mesiras Nefesh. But again, it's on balance. We have to deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on balance. We can't take one act and say, forget everything else. Only look at that act. And the other answer is that we don't know how to weigh, not that we're belittling acts, but again, we don't know how much importance to put, you know, how do we weigh every act that we do?
So I'll word it carefully. If there is any merit...
So I wouldn't be upset. I think that the unbalance is the claim against the Nehemiah.
Nehemiah wasn't punished with insurance. It was just a small pot on his cover that was...
Yeah, right. Because Sarah says you don't deserve to get your own name mentioned. That was like the message. You think you deserve it? Well, you don't even deserve to get your name mentioned. But it's interesting, but when we all got mad and got embarrassed according to these Achrayim.
And Shemayim is aware of this. He didn't realize that...
This is not a punishment that he got that day. No, not good. But it's interesting that the embarrassment of Rav Gamliel according to these Achrayim exonerated this concept, and now he can get the due honor of his Sefer being called by his name. That's the Gemara Vayter. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Meishas Sipur Bignusan Shal Rishayim. Rabbi Yitzchak says that the reason he got punished, there's no difference between Nehemiah and David HaMelech. That's not the reason he got punished. It was fair to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember me for good, not because he deserves it. He doesn't mean he means exactly what the other meant. But the problem, the reason he got punished is that in his Sefer, he speaks negatively about earlier people. And it wasn't his job to criticize earlier generations. The Rashi, Rav Yitzchak Amar Lava Hochi, he anished a David Nami, Amar Kai Gavna, David said similar. And Lekach Nanesh is super beginusen shor Rishayim. He spoke not nicely about the earlier generation. Shenemar, as he says, V'apachas harishayinim asher lufanai, and the early leaders that were before me, hikbidu alam, they were too tough on the nation, took me too many taxes. V'ayikum hem belechem v'yayin achar, and they took bread and wine, achar kesev shkolim. I'm not 100% sure what the word achar is. How does he translate it? Achar is they changed, the pasuk says achar. Afterwards, after Kesef Shkalim Abaim, after taking 40 Shkalim, then they took bread and wine. So he criticizes the taxing policy of the earlier generations. The Avav Daniel, Shegadl Mimeno, Sipir, and he even spoke a little bit against about Daniel. Vinolim the Gadl Mimeno, how do I know he was bigger? Okay, and it's going to say how we know that Daniel was bigger. But I don't know where he spoke against Daniel, unless to say Daniel was from those. I don't think Daniel was from the Pachas of Rishayim, but it doesn't say, does it say over there what he said about Daniel?
Daniel is among those exiles of Babylon.
Yeah, that I know.
With the Choresh and the Nazgir.
Right.
Nechem is among those returns.
I mean, he was part of the criticism of the Pachas of Rishayim. Daniel was part of that criticism. So Trashi, my Ninu, that's right. How do I know Daniel was bigger than Nehemiah? I'm the only one that saw the vision. There was a certain vision that Daniel was given. They did not see it. They started trembling. And they ran away and hid. Who are those people? Referring to those three prophets. In a certain sense, they were greater than Daniel. And in a different sense, different way, he was greater than them. They were prophets and he wasn't. He saw this vision. And they didn't see the vision. So he was definitely greater than Nehemiah, who lived later and wasn't a Navi. And therefore, how could Nehemiah criticize him? Therefore, Nehemiah got punished. Now, was Daniel a Navi or not? This Gemara seems to say he wasn't a Navi. There's a major machlokes we showed him and how to understand it. Rashi Megillah says he wasn't a Navi as great as their Nevuah. And then Mepharshim explained he was never sent with a prophecy to Klal Yisrael. There are those prophets that prophesize but are never given a prophecy to give over. And there's those that are given a mission. And they're the greater Nevi'im. They're being used, their power of prophecy is being used to teach Klal Yisrael. And Daniel might have been a Navi, but he wasn't a Navi sent in a mission to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, since he wasn't sent in a mission to Klal Yisrael, he's considered lesser Navi than they are. Other Rishonim learned he wasn't a Navi at all. To Machlokes. Let's do Rashi. The Rashi, Ma'ininu, Shar'im, Tzchag, Yitzchayim, Malachi. The Kivin, Shehem, Le'rov, Hurah. They didn't see the vision, and he did. I'm a gadol mehem havi. He was greater in a certain aspect. We find that he's chashiver in a certain aspect than chag yitzchayim malachi. Shmami know that gadol havi in Nehemiah ben Chakalia. He is bigger than Nehemiah ben Chakalia. The lo havi navi. There wasn't even a navi. I feel like he's super all of the afki mekal genusu rishayim. He did not exclude him when he spoke about the earlier generations. The Trashi, Daniel Hayim Biboy Hagayla. Daniel was from the ones that went into exile in Macharesh Ramizger with the cream of the crop of the first Golus 11 years before the destruction of the temple. When Nehemiah had him Oyle Hagayla, Nehemiah is from the returnees, Zman Meruba Lacham Mikain, many years afterwards. Inu Adipi Minei, Aydi de Groar Baal Maktani Hachi. This is just because we're mentioning them, so we mention how they're bigger and how he's bigger. Most of Apinapshi of Rez Torah Menek Suva, Raji says some Gemaras don't even have this piece of Gemara. Check the Gemara.
I have a question. Mention last week that the school for PM or people who learn how to be a Navi, whether they would end up having a tafkid or not, I don't know.
Right.
What do you mean there was a school for PM?
They learned, they became the PM. They were able to reach the Madrega of receiving Nevuah.
And the purpose was?
It's an unbelievable Madrega to be so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he communicates with you.
For the sake of a higher learning?
For the sake of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So it's not necessarily because they didn't know who was going to be the next Navi.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, who was going to be the next used Navi? Practicum Barbechim Acher. Yes.
Isn't the
Rambam
where they were able to
be
right?
Well, they reached the Madrega that they could be in the DM and some were and some weren't.
Well, yeah, that's important.
Right, exactly. You can't force the Rebbeinu to make you a Navi. You can reach the Madrega. You have done whatever is necessary physically to become a Navi, correct?
And they had to go to school for this.
They didn't have to go to school. It helped. The people helped them along and taught them how to what to do and how to remove themselves from this world. They were totally removed from this world. I mean, we're talking about people that live totally removed from this world. If they didn't see, why did they get scared? That the Gemara Abagat the Inu Lechazim Yidim Asvayu Chazim. They didn't see, but their mazel saw. And therefore, there's a built-in fear. I'm Rabbi Nishmamin Haiman the Mavis, one who gets frightened all of a sudden. Abagat the Inu Lechazim, he doesn't see any danger. Mazel Lechazim. Obviously, there's some mazikin, which are some heebie-jeebie kind of mazikin that are out to get him. Therefore, Maitakante, Livenshuf Midukte, he should change locations. I bought Gamidi for Amos, that way maybe the Mazikim will leave him alone. Inami Likri Kriya Shema, he should read Kriya Shema, which the Achoinim have a problem. We're not allowed to use different Tyrus to save ourselves. Why is he reading Kriya Shema? So they say because it might be dangerous. In a place of danger, a person can read Kriya Shema. He called him Makamatinai, because he's in a place he's not allowed to say Kriya Shema. Le'emahokhi should say the following. Easy to make top chashmeinim inoy. This is a kind of lachash, not that we understand it. He tells the mazikin that the goats in the butcher shop are fatter than I am. Leave me alone, go to them. That's what it says. Vashi, my time, Ibis, the Sivam, Harad, the Gedal, and Afale. Lynch of Lidlik, you should jump. The Makamatinaipas, my Masi Kari, can't read Krishma, Le'emahokhi, lachash. It is a lachash, means it's a saying that we don't understand how it works. Claim a leche to le'izim, go to the goats, vanikhani, and leave me alone. Because we introduced...
Is there ever a problem with saying Krishna?
What?
Is there ever a problem with saying Krishna?
In a Makom HaTinaifas.
No, no, you said...
But this is the source that one says Krishna.
The problem of saying Krishna to fight off the...
This is a Shiloh where there's a problem. The minig ha'olam is that we say that when I was a kid, when I was scared, my mother used to tell me we'd say Kriya Shema.
Really?
Yeah, all the time. When I was scared, she'd say, so say Kriya Shema. That was the...
Be all and end all. That's for any problem
you heard that before?
Sure.
I grew up on that. I was scared, say Kriya Shema. That was always the common answer.
Right.
Not that I did it. But that was what I was told to do all the time.
Thank Krishna.
That's all right, no? Remember, the Sanchez girl tell you that's the way it was in Europe. What?
The Browns were behind in the
pool. Oh, no. That's not what it meant, yes.
It didn't help, so that's probably where the acronym got it.
Okay, yes. Yes, doctor.
It's interesting in that I believe that Zemu was going to see the demons referred to as the evil himself.
That's why we use Ezim. Let's think about it. Lamar Bahamisra, does it mean the great rulership? What is the literal translation, Lamar Bahamisra?
To him who increases God's authority.
To what?
To him who increases.
To him who increases God's authority, will shalom and kate into peace of no end. Now, this is a nevuah that was said about Chizkiyo HaMelech. And this is the only time in Tanakh that I'm aware of that the mem in the beginning of the word is written as a mem sophis, as an end mem, as if it were the end of the word, which means it's closed. It means something is closed here that's supposed to be open, and the Rebbeinu Shlom closed it. What was about Chizkiyo that was open and closed? And it's hinted to by the fact that the Navi said to write this mem with a closed mem as opposed to an open mem. As if an opening was closed. What opening was closed? Hamisra, I think it is. The increasing of the rulership of Hashem. Let's take my bite. Amar of Tanakum Darish Bakapara Bitsipuri. They mako mem shiva em to pay the psuach. Why are all mems in the middle or beginning of the words open mems? The zest sosim, and this is a closed mem. Vikish HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasas Chizkiyo Mashiach v'sancherem Gleig u'magard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wanted to make Chizkiyo Mashiach and sancherem should be the war of Gleig u'magard. There's a famous, we're going to be talking about the war of sancherem. Sancherem gathered his whole army and basically conquered a majority of the world, and he became ruler over the whole world. The only thing in his way in complete world conquest was Yerushalayim. At the doorstep of Yerushalayim, he had a terrible misfortune of his whole army getting wiped out by, the Gemara is going to say, how? By Malachim. Basically, they all died one night, and that was the end of Sancharib's army. That would have been the Muhammad's Gaigu Magog, and Siskiyo's victory would have been Siskiyo's becoming Melech HaMashiach, and it would have been the end of any future Galuson, of anything else. The world would have reached its goal that it had to reach. But something happened that stopped it. What happened was, let me issue a disclaimer. Then I'm going to read this Gemara. I will try to explain it. But then again, I really don't understand all the intricacies here, so I just will say what I know. Amra Midas Adin Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midas Adin came in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a way of saying that there was a tain on Chizkiyo. Rabbi Nishmar, Uma David Melech Yisrael, Marech David Shamakam Shiris Nishishbachas Lufanecha. He said many praises in front of you. Vayasisa Mashiach, you did not make him Mashiach, because obviously he and the generation weren't fit for Mashiach. Chizkiyo was a beneficiary of so many miracles and did not say Shira. Kaseo Mashiach, you're going to make him Mashiach, a person who didn't praise you? Lekach nistatem. That is why the mem is closed. The opportunity of Mashiach was closed off by the fact that Chizkiyo did not say Shira. Now, the Svarim explain, and I don't remember where I said, I think it's in my back of my mind, I remember it as a Reb Tzaddik, but I don't want to blame anybody. I said yes to Shabbos and Shul, that some cipher says he does not mind that people say his Torah in their name. As long as they don't say their Torah in his name, he's fine. So, I don't want to misquote, but I think it's Reb Tzaddik. That when a king does something wrong, it's because the generation is not up to a certain level. And he, as the leader of the generation, is sometimes where we see that wrongdoing. If Chizkiyo doesn't say Shira, it's not like we should nail Chizkiyo up here and put him in front of us and throw darts at him and say, you ruined it. It could have been Mashiach, and you blew it. It was a reflection that the generation hasn't been ready yet for Mashiach. They were lacking in their ability to say Shira. The whole generation was lacking. Therefore, the leader of the generation doesn't say Shira. So even though we're going to be talking about Chizkiyo, the individual, but if I remember correctly, it's Reb Tzaddik who says a king reflects his country. There are exceptions. There are kings that are tzaddikim and the country is Rishoim. There are kings that are Rishoim that the country is tzaddikim. But when we think about, this is throughout history, David HaMelech can't build the Beis HaMikdash, he ish damimata. Reb Tzaddik explains, means that it doesn't only mean he is a man of blood, which it means, but it reflects that the nation is not yet at the level that they can have a Beis HaMikdash. They're still fighting their battles. When Shlomo HaMelech marries Bas Parai, it reflects that Klal Yisrael is not yet ready to make that final leap that Shlomo HaMelech thought they were ready for, and he wanted to be Mashpia, the Rabbi Nishlam's name on the whole world, and that's why he married all these women, so he could be an influence. Again, they weren't ready for that level. This is another case of this point. Chizkiyo doesn't say Shira, it means Klal Yisrael at this point is not ready for it. It manifests itself, here is the king, beneficiary of so many miracles, why aren't you thanking the Rabbi Nishlam? Why aren't you getting up and say Shira? Therefore you can't be Mashiach. Which means, the world, the Klal Yisrael is not yet ready for Mashiach.
Why are we focusing on him then?
Because the king is the he stands for the nation. Again, it's because we don't understand what a king is.
Anytime Klal Yisrael is not roaring for something, we don't take it and let's throw it onto this person. Let's take all the flack.
We do it many more times than you think.
Give the blame where it deserves. Klal Yisrael's not ready. Have a nice day. Let's keep it that way.
Yes, doctor.
It was said very well by the great Kabbalist and writer Louis XIV. L'etat c'est moi. The state is me. That at the chin of the state is the king. And the king is the state. Period.
Anyway.
What's
because you're descending from Dobit?
Yeah, it was a mouth of the Dobit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Kohanim were wiped out by the Gullus over there, right? Because they endowed it for the people, right? That the shogging shouldn't happen, right? Well,
obviously, I will agree to you this much, that the king is in a position to have great influence on his nation, and he's partially to blame that the nation doesn't reach that madriga. But they feed on each other. Meaning, why is Klal Yisrael not in the madriga to say, by the way, I'm talking about Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Klal Yisrael reached a level in his days we haven't seen since. I mean, every kid knew Hulas Tumman Tara from Donad. The Gemara is going to talk about the greatness of Chizkiyahu's generation. So he did a masterful, wonderful job of taking Yidden, who were a nation that was steeped in Avodah Zarah, and turning it into a nation that was the greatest level they reached ever since. We have never reached that level. Obviously, it was still missing one point. Whether he could have done it, whether he couldn't have done it, his nation that he took from Avodah Zarah to a point that every kid in Klal Yisrael knew Gansaris, and nobody didn't learn. He had a massive, an unbelievable transformation of Klal Yisrael. He brought him from the down to the highest levels, but just not high enough, which shows itself in the fact that he doesn't say Shira. That's how it shows itself. He can't be Mashiach.
He didn't say Shira at all.
So it says, on this
he didn't say Shira on the level of David HaMelech.
Says he didn't say Shira. I'm reading a Gemara. Like, Amar Shira Lufanecha. Had he said Shira, meaning Klal Yisrael would have been ready for that last missing piece that they were missing to the Mashiach to come. Now again, he did an unbelievable job when he did the Klal Yisrael. He changed Klal Yisrael. He made Klal Yisrael into a nation of totally dedicated to Torah. He brought him up to the, almost to the highest level.
If they're really a Roy, right? Their influence would have caused him to say Shira.
Exactly. And his influence might have raised them to that level.
Right.
Again, I'm not blaming him. He did. I'm trying to say reality. Reality was they weren't ready. That's reality.
That's bottom line.
Bottom line is, his not saying Shira is a reflection of Klal Yisrael not being prepared.
I think they were.
Meaning, it was a time of possibility. It was a time that Klal Yisrael came very, very close. But not there. And therefore the mem is closed. Almost, but not made. Didn't make it. Yes. No, I didn't. I mean, Archko says he wanted. No, he desired. Bakasha.
I think. However, I'm not.
Oh, I mean, why is that? Because Bokhu wants it? Meaning,
right.
I think it means, no, again, it was a time that was. Masugal was almost there.
That's on the
big edge. Right. Bakashi. He was saved from Sancherev and healed from his illnesses. Not the Gemara Vayta. So the earth opened up its mouth and said, let me say Shira. Meaning, I don't know exactly the significance here. Obviously, the earth is saying, Rabbeinu Shlalem, let me make up the deficiency. There is a deficiency. I will compensate for the deficiency, and let's bring Mashiach. Shenemar, miknaf haaretz zmirai shemanu. From the edges of the earth, we heard praise. Tzvi la tzadik, the desire of the tzadik. Amr sara oilam lefanav. The malach called the sara oilam says in front of Hashem. I think it means your desire do for this tzaddik, meaning make him Mashiach. We will compensate for the deficiency.
Rabbi Nishan doesn't need the Shira, he needs the person to recognize the need for Shira.
Yeah. So this is the problem here. And the way I understood it is, that the earth is saying, I think what the earth is saying is, they're close enough that if you make him Mashiach, they will grow into that position. That's my own understanding of what the earth is saying. The earth is saying, let me make it up. Let me, as not being a human being, being part of your creation, fill the gap till they grow into it and make him Mashiach. And the answer is, it has to be earned by people. You can't have anybody fill no gap and be taken and they'll grow into that position. They have to be there in order for Mashiach to come. Unless the Machreinim explain there's a difference between Achishena and Be'ita. When Mashiach comes earlier than the time he has to, then they have to earn every little bit of it. When he comes in its time, he's going to come regardless. Now the Rambam does say, a very frightening Rambam, I'm surprised that nobody quotes this Rambam more often. The Rambam says that we are guaranteed that we will do tshuva. Rambam says we are guaranteed that we are going to do tshuva and Mashiach is going to come. That means the Rambam seems to be saying that Mashiach is going to come when we do tshuva. That means something's going to happen that the Rabbani is going to do and everybody is going to do tshuva mighty fast and then Mashiach will come. It's frightening because things that happen to make people do tshuva are usually not things that are like so calming. They're usually like more frightening in nature. But that's what the Rambam says. There were muftah that we're going to do tshuva. But at that point, it was very early. Nobody can compensate. One cannot grow into it. Either there or you're not there. What? Yeah, but it's still tshuva. It's not the highest madrega, but it's better than nothing. It's better than nothing.
That could be in the end.
Right now, when the Mashiach comes. Next week.
Years?
I mean, why next week? Tomorrow. But I mean, basically, when the UN votes and all the nations get together against Eretz Yisrael, and you see Goy Gumogic happening, and you can start doing tshuva mighty quickly, then Mashiach will come.
Are you talking about Achishena or the other one?
It's Be'ita. We're already well into Be'ita. I don't think we're at Achishena now. I think we're at Be'ita. No. Be'ita doesn't mean at 6,000. Be'ita means the way before 6,000, there'll be a time that he has to come by. We're up to the Ita already. We're not. Achishena's long gone. Yeah.
I never heard that before.
Well, listen to it now. I think one of the Mepharshim say that the Ita started somewhere in the middle of the 1700s. At that point, it switched from Achishena to Ita. Ita has a long range also, but the Ita started at the point. You know, the famous Grah. The Grah says that every 100 years. In the 6,000 year, it's connected to Parsha and Dvarim. So, if 50 to 5,100 was Dvarim, 5,100, 5,200 is the Schanan and Ekev and Rei and Shaiftim. You say, I think we're in the middle of Nitzavim Vayelach. I think at this point, I believe so. Yes. You asked me something? I'm sorry.
The tshuva brought about by Yisrael is not necessarily here. Case in point, it was the first time I was speaking with who has been through chemo for leukemia, and that's probably about the sixth person I've said.
The Ron, the Drasha Saran asked the question, how can tshuva be accepted if it's being done through duress? And the Ron answers, it depends what happens after the duress is over. If the person reverts, this is the Ron. If the Ron, if he goes back to the old, then his tshuva is not worth much. But if he remains now, he's turned that tshuva that started from duress into a real tshuva, and it counts.
I mean, yeah,